Welcome to another episode of Pilots Say What, where we get to hear what pilots have to say. Today, I'm sitting down with Caitlin. We've done some work together on some video stuff before, so it'll be exciting to kind of talk to you for a little bit longer on this podcast. But today, I imagine we'll kind of talk about what it looks like getting started at a fast-paced program and working your way all the way through all the different ratings that we have to offer, especially here at Thrust. But hopefully, this is great for anyone who is thinking about joining a accelerated flight training program or starting flight training in general, because I think a lot of this transfers over, and we here at Thrust work with our students a lot on things that are you know, common challenges in all of aviation. So without any further ado, Caitlin, would you mind introducing yourself just to give the audience a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, well, I'm Caitlin. I started Thrust back in March. I'm currently working on multi, so I've gotten my private license, instrument, commercial, CFI, and double I. I've had a great experience. Yeah.
That's awesome. I didn't know that you started in March. You're moving kind of quickly.
Pretty fast, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what we're in November now. Sorry, I had to think about what month it was. Yeah, we haven't. It's been a while since I've heard someone say they've moved through so quickly. So I guess I'll have some questions about, like, you know, some of the things you did to do that. Do you feel like you moved through it quickly?
I feel like I moved through it pretty quickly, okay. Yeah.
Okay. I was just curious about that. Well, we're going to jump into some of that stuff. But just to get a little bit more about you, is there anything about you that you feel like, you know, helps people understand you, or at least makes you feel understood by other people? Something like, you know, maybe you're outgoing, or maybe you're a hard worker, or something like that.
I'd say so, yeah. I'd say I'm pretty outgoing. I love to meet people. The school's a great environment for that. There's always people there. And I'd say also hardworking. I mean, I've had a group of friends that, I mean, we're just up at the school every day, all day, every single day. Everyone there knows us. It's been really great.
And is there anything that maybe your closest friend would use to describe you, or something like something in that realm?
I'd say probably driven, maybe outgoing.
That's good. That's good. I asked that because I think people in flight training, there's like a group of characteristics they kind of have, and I kind of trying to like figure out what those are. And I don't think you can do flight training without being very driven. So
yeah,
let's take a step even a little bit further back. Like, what made you? Did you have other options? What made you want to start flight training?
I always wanted to fly. I had one of my really close friends, she got her private license, and I always just thought like aviation was such a cool career path. You get to travel, you know, meet people, and then planes, always fascinated with planes, like just seems impossible that humans can fly, yet here we are doing it.
Yeah, I actually think about it that way a lot, because I think when I was a kid, you know, you watch like cartoons and stuff, and people fly, and I'm like, oh, that's so cool flying.
Right,
but, I mean, it's really not that far-fetched when you're in one of these planes, especially these smaller planes, like something that's closer to like general aviation. Like, wow, I'm like moving through the sky. I'm skipping all the roads, all the water. It's pretty cool.
It is.
What first taste of that did you get? When's the first time you're like, oh, I really want to fly, or this flying is really cool?
I honestly, every single time I went to like an airport, like as a kid growing up, like I just see all the planes, and I was just so fascinated. You get to, you know, go in the sky, you're going so fast, you get to see all these things, like all these destinations in such a short amount of time, you know. I just thought like the idea of traveling would be so fascinating. And then my first taste of aviation, I'd say probably my Discovery Fly. I had that like last summer, although at first I was pretty scared. But you get used to it, I'd say. But yeah, I've loved it. It's been amazing.
I want to know a little bit more about the Discovery Flight, because I think for a lot of people, that's you know, the turning point that takes their interest into like, maybe, I don't know, what, turning it into action a little bit. So like, did you do a Discovery Flight with Thrust or anywhere else?
I actually did it somewhere else. I did it out of Denton. I went to a 61 for a while. I actually did the finish line here at Thrust.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you're like one of our first people, it sounds like.
Yeah. I was the first finish line. I was kind of like an experiment.
Okay, cool. Cool. So you did it out of Denton. And did you, you know, have to call someone? Like, let's say that there's someone out there who hasn't taken a Discovery Flight, and maybe there's someone who's thinking about it. What's the first step you took, and kind of what's the process of doing a Discovery Flight? from when you called someone?
How I did it was I was just looking at like airports like around my area. I found a school that like kind of fit, looked like it fit my needs. Mm-hmm. Called, I asked if I could do a discovery flight. I showed up, we did a pre-flight, mm-hmm. got in the plane, and we basically just went up and did a bunch of circles over Lake Ray Roberts.
And did you get to like feel the controls? Did they mm-hmm. let you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so can you tell me a little bit about how that felt to kind of, because I don't know if you had been in the planes mm-hmm. like that very much, but yeah, can you tell me a little bit about taking the controls for the first time?
Yeah. So usually on a discovery flight, they do let you take the controls, like mm-hmm. nothing crazy. They're not going to like let you do the landing or anything, but they mm-hmm. will just let you move the plane free will. And mm-hmm. it was definitely a different experience, you mm-hmm. know. You really like, you don't know what it feels like until you're actually in the plane doing it. You're like, okay, maybe this isn't too like crazy or anything. Like I can do this, you know?
Yeah. I think that bridged a lot of the gaps for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not flying. I'm not a pilot. I'm not training really, but I'm talking to you guys every day. And I remember mm-hmm. when I had gone up in a plane, it was different afterwards when I had gone up again, but I got mm-hmm. to take control of some of like the yoke and the rudders just mm-hmm. a little bit because it bridges the gap between I'm like in the sky uh-huh. and I'm flying a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, but it made things a lot more intriguing for me.
Yeah.
So. Okay, great. So let's say, did you go to college or anything before? Or did you just jump straight into flight training?
So I actually did go to college. I went to NCTC for 2 years, got my associate's in business, and then I was going to go fly with TWU. Mm-hmm. And I talked to the like people running that program, and I, you know, just wanted to get through flight training in a decent amount of time. And they told me that it was going to be 3 years to get to CFI. So after that, I actually, I was like, okay, well, maybe this isn't for me. I don't want to fly in college. And then that's whenever I came to Thrust. Mm-hmm. And here, you know, less than a year later, I'm pretty much done. So
yeah,
I'm glad I went that route versus the college route.
Right. And there's a lot to dive in there. Cause now I hear that you considered the college side mm-hmm. of flying. You did experiment a little bit with the 61, it mm-hmm. seems like, and then you moved your way into Thrust.
Yeah.
Were you doing 61 while you were in college?
I was, yeah.
Gotcha. So can you tell me a little bit about that? Was that difficult? You know, you don't have to bash anyone or anything like mm-hmm. that, but I was just wondering how that went.
It was pretty difficult. Mm-hmm. I was working, I was flying, and I was in college. So it was definitely a pretty busy schedule, and I just mm-hmm. didn't really have the time to focus on aviation in the way that you really have to move through it. Mm-hmm. I had actually been flying for about 10 months before I came to Thrust. And in those 10 months, I got 80 hours. So I was flying 8 hours a month.
Basically, though, you're like an 80-hour private student. Yeah. And you're like, something's got to give here. You find the finish line program at Thrust. And then you train for about 2 weeks, transferring over to like, you know, the avionics and new plane and stuff like that. And we wrap up your private in about 2 weeks. Yeah. Yeah, so that's the goal of the finish line program for anyone who's listening and watching. And that's why we put it into place more officially after you, I guess. but to backtrack a little bit, you said you were also working. So you were doing training, working, and flying. And I want to dive in a little bit there because mentally you have to make a decision at some point that, wait a second, I got to make a change. And that is a difficult position to be in, whether you're, you know, grown with a family or you're like a student trying to figure out what you're doing in your future. It's a lot of pressure. What was going on with you at that time? Were you stressed about this?
Yeah, I was so stressed about it. Yeah. I knew that I wanted to fly and I knew that I didn't go to college for another 3 years, 4 years to get my CFI. So I actually enrolled in another semester of classes and I like called my dad. I was like, I know I want to go to like an accelerated school. I want to get this done. Like I'm tired of
flying, flying on the back burner. Like I know that's what I want to do. Yeah. So it did feel like a, you know, a quarter life crisis moment, but I actually withdrew from that semester and just focused on flying and then ended up at Thrust just a month or two later.
Okay. So you kind of realized though that why am I continuing in college when I kind of already know what I want?
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you just kind of accept it maybe.
Yeah.
And so you talked to your dad and you started Thrust Flight. Mm-hmm. I guess, yeah, it all built up to one point and you just mm-hmm. made the decisions. Okay, so you make the decision to go to Thrust Flight. Uh-huh. How did you know about Thrust Flight?
I actually had been looking at Thrust for a long time. I loved the concept of the school, how quick it was. The planes are amazing, as you know, the AC, the avionics, everything. Those planes are amazing. But I had probably been looking at Thrust for like maybe a year, but whenever I first looked at it, I was in college and I couldn't go to Thrust and be in college. You have to, you know, give Thrust your full time,
right?
Being an accelerated course. So I kind of, I started, that's why I started applying at the 61. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of mainly focused on like school. Like I didn't get to fly as much as I wanted to.
Right.
And then, you know, I didn't want to come to Thrust with as many hours as I had. So I was trying to get my private license before I came to Thrust because I had been wanting to go forever.
But so before you, when you had found out about Thrust, was it through social media or like through a friend or anything like that?
I found out through, I did see it on social media and I found out through it or about it through a few friends. And I also had seen like a Thrust plane at my airport a few times. And I was just like so fascinated, you know, it was such like a nice plane. And I heard so many good things about the school. Like my instructor was always like, oh, that's the school with the AC plane. Like,
that's funny. I didn't know. It sounds like it's just everyone already knew about it around you. And so you just picked up on it.
Yeah.
That's good to know. You know, I'm doing a good job, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, so you start at Thrust, you withdraw from your semester, and you have to probably quit a job that you're working, it sounds like.
Yeah.
And you quit your old school, and you just, all attention from all those different places go to Thrust.
Yes.
And so what's it like on your first day? Well, you told me about how the first 2 weeks you're you're finishing up your private, but what was it like adjusting to the atmosphere, and how was it different than what you were used to?
It was very different. Such a change from the 61. You know, at the 61, you don't see anyone. You never go to school. Like, you show up, see your instructor, and you leave. But Thrust, it's like you have all these people there all day willing to help you with literally anything. It's such a great environment. You, like, study with your classes. You know, you have classes, which is nice. And the first 2 weeks were actually really difficult for me because I never had a ground in my 61. So my ground was super weak. And here I am trying to finish up my private license, and I felt like I didn't know anything.
Okay. Gotcha. And first of all, that makes a lot of sense for you to get from March to November, because you did get a lot of the, you broke the ice on a lot of stuff by getting a lot of, so many hours before you came. But to your point, you had to catch up on the ground.
Yeah.
So was that probably the most difficult part about starting here at Thrust?
I'd say that was the most difficult part initially. And definitely going from a six pack to the G1000 was a big change. I definitely did have to do a few GPU sessions, which is also nice. You know, you can play in the GPU, play with the avionics. Like if you're coming from a six pack and you're not used to the G1000.
Right. Right. And I hear that about people. So I'm always curious about that transition, but I guess that helps.
Yeah.
And so moving forward into, you're going into instrument at this point, but also in a whole new environment and lifestyle and things like that. What are some further challenges you kind of like felt like you came across? Did you kind of breeze through instrument? Did you kind of hit more challenges later on?
For instrument, I'd say the main challenge was like just learning the G1000 still. I was still like transitioning to that. And, you know, instrument is so much instruments, and these instruments I wasn't super familiar with. So the most difficult part of instrument, of course, like the ground is very difficult, especially initially. It's like a different language of aviation. It's completely different from VFR. And then learning autopilot and the G1000 and how to fly these approaches. But I think I still breeze through it pretty decently. You just have to, you know, put in the time, study, get a few GPU sessions, and pretty much that's it.
Yeah. So it sounds like you decided to start college because you didn't, that's what you had imagined doing.
Yeah.
And you wanted to get your degree and you wanted to fly, but you also kind of had to work.
Yeah.
But that turned out to go a little different than you planned.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about what your plan was going into college versus how it ended up feeling?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I guess I just went to college because I wasn't really sure how to go about flight training. Like I had always wanted to do it, but I wasn't really sure how to do it.
Okay.
And I did kind of want to go to college and fly that route until I kind of knew like how long it can take and like the like difficulties with college aviation, how you're grounded for so long and just it's such a slow progress. And I wanted to finish faster than that.
Yeah.
But I guess I just went to college because that's kind of just the way I thought you had to do it, if that makes sense.
Because when you start aviation, it's kind of like a whole new world, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And you kind of get into the training and you learn a lot about flying. But you start thinking about your career at some point, too. And I guess I'm wondering if there's any moment to where it started to feel more real, like this is what I do, mm-hmm. Or maybe like I can see a little bit more into the future about where I want to go.
Yeah.
Is there any moments like that to where you really started to feel like you're in aviation?
Yeah, I'd say instrument really is where you start to feel like you're a real pilot, because that's what the airliners do. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like the light bulb moment of like, this is what I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life. This mm-hmm. is how I'm going to fly in the airlines. And then whenever I became a CFI, that was also when that became really real, because I was like, okay, now I'm about to start teaching other people. I'm about to, you know, basically, I'm trying to think of a word. Like now I'm the one teaching. Now I'm going to bring so many more people into aviation. Like it just feels crazy. Like from there, you know, you get all of your hours, and that's the point where you're actually going to go to the airline. So I was like, okay, this is real. There's no going back.
Mm-hmm. And I think that it's always interesting. People say that a lot about the CFI rating, mm-hmm. is that things begin to feel even more real. Like there's always an evolution with every rating, right? You're mm-hmm. like, wow, I'm more of a pilot than I was before or something. But something about teaching other people or mm-hmm. thinking that you're going to teach other people has an effect on you. Mm-hmm. What is that? Like, do you think that the sense of like connecting with other people over aviation does a lot?
Yeah. I'd say so.
Yeah. So here, do you have study groups, and did you meet friends here that you study with? You said you're in housing.
Yes.
Like, what's it like being around a bunch of people doing the same thing?
It's great. Yeah. It keeps you motivated, mm-hmm. For sure. I do have a lot of study groups. Mm-hmm. I have like a little original group that I've stayed with since I've gotten there. Mm-hmm. And we branch out. We study with as many people as we can. We try to tutor as much as we can, and just stay like immersed in the environment. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So with those people, like you said, they kind of stuck with them. Mm-hmm. Are any of them kind of, you know, moving along at the same pace as you, to where you get to study on the same things pretty consistently?
A few of us.
A few of you. Okay. Because uh-huh. I know everyone has their own pace regardless. Mm-hmm. So I guess what I would like to know is, what are some of the studying things y'all do to kind of go mm-hmm. over stuff together? Have y'all developed some of your favorite study methods?
I'd say the one that I found to be most effective mm-hmm. is like asking each other questions. Mm-hmm. You know, like a lot of people know the material, but whenever you're sitting there getting asked questions, it's so different than just memorizing it. You have to know how to answer it. And that's like all aviation is, you know, mm-hmm. or not all of it, but that's a good portion, is like mm-hmm. being asked questions. You have to be able to explain yourself. It's not like multiple choice, you know?
Yeah.
So getting study groups, breaking down the material, and just sitting there asking each other questions, that's what I found to be the most effective. And that's what my group loves to do. We love to ask other people questions, you know, just really make your brain think, you know. Mm-hmm.
And then for the CFIs, mm-hmm. Do you kind of have to stick with one CFI, especially if you have questions and things like that? Mm-hmm. How do you approach CFIs when you need them?
How do we approach them? Yeah. We'll just go up to them. You can find anyone. Everyone there, every CFI is always willing to help. They're willing to answer any of your questions. Mm-hmm. So if we ever have a question, we just find a little group of them and we'll see what everyone has to say.
Yeah, I'm big on that. I'm a big mm-hmm. question asker, obviously. Yeah. That's what I'm doing here. But, uh-huh. You know, the jobs I think I've stuck with the longest, or I've excelled at the most, mm-hmm. have been the ones where I didn't feel too uncomfortable going and asking lots of questions, because mm-hmm. I'm that kind of person. So that's good. That's why I like to ask that question.
Yeah.
What's your favorite part so far about flying, though? You've mm-hmm. been flying for a little while. You still seem like you like it.
Yeah.
You know, like, what is it that kind of keeps you kind of going? And mm-hmm. is it just the industry, the planes, the flying itself, the knowledge? Mm-hmm. What is that?
I really love aviation. I think it's amazing, you know. Every single time you go up, like, you just see the world from such a different perspective. I love flying the plane. I love landing the plane. It's just mm-hmm. such a like cool, rewarding feeling, you know, mm-hmm. and just that like thought of like your future, like you're going to get to travel, see all these cool places, be in an even cooler plane than the Piper Archer, you know, mm-hmm. Such a promising, cool future. It's really rewarding. It's amazing.
You know, not everyone has a really like positive outlook all the time.
Yeah.
And it's easy to get maybe overwhelmed or mm-hmm. like even pessimistic or second guess your decisions. Mm-hmm. Have you done any of that?
Definitely. Yeah. You get a little burnout, especially when you're there all the time. You have to remember you need to take care of yourself. You need to take a few breaks from school. I've had CFIs come up to me and be like, okay, you need to go home for the weekend and just chill, like take a break from aviation. And I, you know, you have to do it. Yeah. It's a lot of work. You got to remember to take care of yourself.
Is there like a time where you kind of had to like force yourself to take a break?
Yes, there definitely has been a time. I'd say CFI, I did have to give myself a break. There's so many FOIs, and CFI was one of the more challenging readings for me, just because you're switching to the right seat. You have this whole question bank of knowledge you have to learn, and you kind of exhaust yourself. I did have to take like a step back, go home for a few days and just chill, stop thinking about the FOIs and stop thinking about, you know, the stage check I failed.
Yeah. I feel like, have you ever had a stressful dream about flying?
A stressful dream about flying.
Or about studying or any of it, aviation?
Yes. I'd say like my most stressful dream is having a dream that I'm late to a flight or something. Like, you know, whenever you like you're sleeping and you have like an early flight and you like, I have a dream, I wake up past my flight and I'm late. That's my biggest stress, is being late.
And I feel like that's how you know it's time to like relax and take a little bit of a break. Okay, because I wonder that. I've had several different jobs where like, I remember I used to serve. Mm-hmm. And I think one night I dreamed about, I just couldn't get a table at Ranch. And I couldn't do it. I just couldn't get it to them. Like, I was so overwhelmed by everything else. I just couldn't prioritize getting them a ranch. And I woke up thinking like, I can't believe I didn't get them a ranch. Mm-hmm. And after that, I was like, I need to relax. I need to take some time off. Uh-huh. Irrelevant. But so in CFI, you stress a little bit maybe over some of those things that you're kind of like needing to study, so much so that you need to take a break.
Yeah.
You know, what are some of the – because in aviation, there's a lot of different things you actually have to learn, obviously.
Yes,
like, and I, you know, you have to learn a lot about the weather and mechanical things and even in the industry and stuff like that, and how to teach people.
Yes.
What's an area of study that was kind of like really new to you that you had to focus a little more on?
I would say systems, you know, especially like some people come in to aviation and they know about like, you know, how their cars work, and they know what like a carburetor is, or like fuel injection is, and like I had no idea, you know, as of like not to say a girl, but I didn't know anything about anything systems wise, so that was definitely something I had to focus on.
And a lot of guys do get put in situations where they need to learn those things, and so let me ask you a little bit more about that. I mean, do you feel a little more comfortable with systems at this point?
I'd say so. I've had a lot of help with like the maintenance side too. Like, they let us go over and they kind of like show us around the engine, tell us how it works, tell us the parts of it. So that's been super helpful to kind of like see and understand it.
Yeah. So what's out of the different areas of study, including systems or maybe some of the other options, what's something that you've enjoyed kind of learning more about?
Something I've enjoyed, I would say weather. I really love weather and aerodynamics. Those would be my two favorite areas of study.
Yeah. What is it? Have you kind of like come to understand what it is that you like so much about it, or why it's so interesting to you?
Weather. I don't know. I think it's cool to be able to like look at like a prog chart and be like, and know what the weather is going to be like the next few days. I feel like a meteorologist. You know, I feel like that's pretty cool. And then aerodynamics. It's just. I think it's very neat how the plane actually flies.
Yeah, so it seems like you've kind of like even including the systems at this point, you have a better understanding of what is actually going on, like what pushes the plane, how the plane interacts with the air, and how the weather affects the air. I'm sure like kind of getting that full picture is kind of an interesting thing. It's kind of like a story. I didn't think about it that way until you said it, I guess. You're moving into your multi now. Do you have the opportunity to apply as a CFI now since you have that rating, or are you kind of waiting a little bit to do that? What's your plan next, I guess?
So I believe you have to finish multi before you're able to apply to thrust, just so you have the whole course finished. And after that, I plan to apply to thrust. I would really love to work for thrust. It's an amazing school. The instructors all really seem to enjoy their job. And you get to fly the nicest Piper Archer in Texas, so that's cool.
And so after you kind of get to a position where you can build your hours and things like that, are you considering what kind of career path are you considering? Is it mostly the airlines?
I would really love a 135, like a charter operation, to kind of like, you know, get some variation in like the airports you're gonna go, get to fly like a cool little jet. I feel like that would be pretty neat. Maybe long term though, I would like to go to the airlines. I'd like to do like cross Atlantic flights, just because, you know, those pilots aren't flying very much, but they're making pretty good money, so it's definitely a good career path.
Absolutely. And that's where a lot of people seem to be excited about. So, and I think to me, just from talking to different students and pilots on the podcast, it seems like the a 135 option sounds like a really fun stepping stone option or a transitional thing to do and experience in a game, experience in a jet or you know, some sort of multi-engine plane. So, and speaking of the plane side of things, you do sound like you're pretty intrigued by different planes. Have you flown any other planes or are you excited to try out any other certain kinds of planes?
I have not flown a lot of other planes. I flew the Beechcraft Sundowner in my 61 school and then the Piper Archer and soon I'll be flying the Multi. So not like a ton of variation of the planes I've been flying, but I am excited to fly different planes.
Gotcha. I think I'm going to be going down that rabbit hole soon on YouTube probably. What kind of planes are there? So are you familiar with the different jets that are at different airlines and things like that? And do you have any, you know, preferences there?
I'm not so familiar. And I hear like the both sides of why the Airbus is better and why the Boeing is better. So I guess I just have to see it to understand it.
Yeah, that's kind of how I am too. This is, you know, if you're not super... You're interested in what the career path is going to look like, so you'll figure it out as you go anyway. So, but I always like to ask people that because they tell me things I don't know. So if you move into the airlines, or even if you do a Part 135 kind of operation, do you plan on staying in Dallas? Do you think you're going to end up staying somewhere else?
I would like to stay in Dallas. Okay. I really love North Texas. I love to travel. I love to see places, but nowhere else really feels like home quite like Dallas does.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and I like Dallas too, so that makes sense. Zooming out a little bit, you know, you've made your way through the program. You've already kind of tried out different options, considered different options in terms of training. It's a big decision to start regardless of where you're starting from. And money's a big factor of that too. And, you know, some people do have a little bit of family help and some people don't. I'm curious about what role the financial side of it played in your decision and starting flight training. So. There's the cost, but there's also the rewards on the end.
Yeah.
Kind of like, what did you think about all of that before making the decision to become a pilot?
It's definitely a little overwhelming, especially, you know, Sallie Mae interest, loans, like, definitely a little stressful. I knew, like, eventually, you know, always the benefits gonna outweigh the cost. Meantime, it's a little bit stressful. Yeah, but I mean, I knew what I was going to do. I knew it was what I wanted to do. So I knew it was going to be worth the cost. And there's nothing quite like aviation. You know, I'd rather have a little loan to pay off than, I mean, I guess a big loan to pay off than spend the rest of my life in a career field that I don't want to be in.
Right. And I think, you know, no matter where you are and how difficult it is to make that decision, that just is true regardless.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen it. I've talked to, I mean, we're what, over 80 episodes in now or something like that. And I mean, everyone, no matter where they started from, whether they have a family, like kids or not, or whether they're like, you know, young and doing it on their own or whatever it might be, it's the same thing that everyone says. They'd rather do it anyways.
So. Yeah.
Do you have any concerns about the career and things that like you think, and you know, I know this isn't to deter anyone, but people would relate to this. Do you have any concerns about how it might go, like that you hear people talk about?
Yeah, definitely. You know, there's always something that could go wrong, and hopefully it doesn't. Especially, you know, the airlines aren't hiring as much right now, so CFI jobs are a little bit harder to come across right now. It is said that, like, 2026 they'll be hiring a little bit more, so I'm hoping some CFI jobs clear up, so hopefully I can get one, because I'm at that point now where I need to find a job, get those hours. So I'd say finding a job right now is definitely one of the bigger concerns.
Right. Especially where you're at in your training, that's the next step for you.
Yeah.
As a CFI, did you imagine being a CFI when you started flight training, and how do you think about, you know, that role?
I knew I wanted to go the CFI route. It's definitely I'd say a better option. It looks better to the airlines, and I'm excited to teach. You know, I have some students that I tutor, and it's very rewarding watching them like understand it and, you know, become a bit closer to like truly understanding aviation. It's a very rewarding position to be a CFI, and I'm excited for it.
Yeah, a lot of people a lot of people are worried about the future of, you know, is it a good option to start flight training right now? Would I be able to become a pilot? And you know, what's everything going to look like in the future? But you seem like you still have optimism about it. And I guess what I'm wanting to know is why? Like, why are you not more concerned about things not working out in some sort of way? Like, what keeps you optimistic about things actually working out?
I'd say what keeps me the most optimistic is knowing that, I mean, I'll be in a plane for the rest of my life. Everything, you know, it'll work out if you really put the work in. And I plan on doing that, you know, like here I am, all my ratings, I put the work in this far. It's all worked out this far. So if I just continue to, I've just got to hope for the best, you know?
I think that's true. I think that's true. I guess I always just like to know what keeps people, you know, motivated, faithful to what they're doing. And so, another thing that people tend to, you know, be on the fence about before starting flight training is whether or not they'll be able to do some of that hard work, right?
Yeah.
Like, can I commit without working?
Yeah.
And can I learn the things? Like, what if I'm not smart enough or something? What if I don't like the plane side of it? What do you think about that? Did you have any of those concerns, or what would you say to someone who has them?
I would say one of my bigger concerns is, like, you know, what if I'm not smart enough for it? Whenever you first get in, it's so much information to digest, you know, it's definitely a lot. But I mean, what I would say is, like, you know, the longer you work at it, like, it's one step at a time, and the longer you work at it, the easier it becomes, and the more you start to understand it. And flying wise, if you are nervous about not being good in the plane, I'd say definitely do a discovery flight. See how you feel about it. See if this is really what you want to do.
Right. Right. Yeah. And for someone who is maybe getting to a place in their training and is feeling like, man, this is really tough right now. And, you know, maybe it's because maybe they're struggling. Maybe they failed a test once or twice, or messed up on a stage check. Or they're just not feeling super confident. Do you have any, you know, maybe words for someone like that?
Yeah.
And that's kind of broad, so it might be difficult. But I'm curious about what you would maybe say to someone who's just, I'm not confident right now.
Yeah. Well, I definitely first start off by saying, you know, take care of yourself. Go do something you enjoy. Stop thinking about aviation for a day or two. And second off, like, we're all going to fail stage checks. Like, I see people beat themselves up so hard for a fail over a stage check. But, you know, it's better to fail a stage check than a check ride. I'd say it just... Yeah. Don't be too hard on yourself. We all fail. Even your best students, you're going to see them fail. Like, I've failed stage checks, you know, we all fail. So just, you know, don't beat yourself up too much. Don't be too hard on yourself. No, it's just another opportunity to learn. You know, you're never going to make that mistake again.
Absolutely.
So yeah. Now you know.
And so if I may ask then, maybe one of those things you might have failed in the flying sense that you had to overcome, what was one of those? Is it a maneuver thing? Was it like a, you know, a landing thing? What were some of those things?
I'd say landings is the number one thing.
And did you pinpoint what was kind of holding you back on your landings at any point, or one of the things that were holding you back?
Yeah, honestly. So for the soft field landing, you know, you hear people say, like, look at the end of the runway, look at the end of the runway, but you want to look right in front of you. But whenever I heard that for the millionth time, I actually tried it, and it really did help.
So you're saying, like, naturally you kept wanting to look right in front of you, but, like, they say to look at the end of the runway?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. So what was it like trying it when you actually tried it? Like, what were you thinking, and how did that go?
You just have to, like, slowly transition your eyes to right in front of you, to, like, right at the end of the runway, and it just feels like a little unnatural, because I want to see where I'm going. You know, like a car, you want to look right in front of you, not at the end of the road, you know? But I finally tried that, and it feels a little weird, a little unnatural, but it really does help, and it keeps your focus on the horizon, so you know, like, where to keep your nose, so you're not over-flaring or under-flaring.
Because do you think that the reason maybe you're so tempted to look right in front of you is because you're literally thinking about the tires and the ground, kind of, in your mind? So I wonder what the difference is. You're kind of just letting go of that thought and thinking, I'm going to follow the procedure and look at the horizon and pay attention to my nose. Gotcha. Because that's what you can actually see. You can't see the ground right in front of you. You can't see the tires. So that makes sense. Gotcha. Sounds like landing is like the undisputed, like, like, who can land the best. That's kind of the thing, right? Because I think about video games. I don't really play a lot of video games because I'm not very good at them. But when I do play them, I want to try over and over again until I get better at the thing I'm doing. And it kind of sounds like a landing is that.
It is.
So I always wonder. Do you have any other piece of advice that you would like to, you know, drill home in people about landing?
Yes, for sure. Know how to feel the plane and ground effect. I've been told, and I have done this with another instructor, it's super useful to fly and ground effect over the runway, and it helps you feel what the plane feels like, because it does feel different in ground effect. You have a little bit better performance, just, you know, that induced drag is being interrupted by the ground. So just know what that feels like.
I never thought about that. No one said that. I didn't think about the induced drag being interrupted by the ground and how that's different than when you're in the sky. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you can't necessarily, that's a good reason. Like, you don't have much of a good reason to take that into account when you're landing if you're not used to it if you're not even aware of it in the first place. And you might be thinking it's going to perform this similarly. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
So you would say that maybe one piece of advice is to, like, get used to the way ground effect feels.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Do that flyover, like you said.
Yeah, do that low pass. Know what it feels like. Mm-hmm. And another one I would say is for your short fields. In the maneuvers guide, it says keep 61. It is really helpful to keep 61 because then you're not going to float way past your point.
Mm-hmm. And so do people just not focus on keeping 61, or is there something that kind of makes it hard to do that?
So you pitch for airspeed and use power for altitude, and most people want to do that backwards because whenever you're flying at 61, you're on the back side of the power curve. So I would say keep 61. You need to keep your pitch up. And most people want to push their nose down to lose that altitude, and you're going to gain all that airspeed. So that's why most people don't actually keep it in 61. And whenever you're going across the threshold at like 70 versus 61, you're going to float for so much longer, and you're always going to go past your point for the short field. So my biggest advice, pitch for airspeed, power for altitude, and keep that 61. Even though it feels scary, unnatural, that's what you need to do for the short field.
Yeah, and you feel like if you were to go up in the plane and you kind of like think about those three checkpoints in your head, or those three, principles in your head, you think even if it felt weird, but you kind of went against the way that if you went against that weird feeling and you did those anyways, you would have faith that that's going to help you?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. I asked it that way because human instinct is really strong.
Yeah.
And you have to retrain it sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking about people who are listening and maybe they're like, what? Like, I guess so. Yeah. That makes sense. It sounds easier said than done.
Yeah.
But do it anyways, I guess. Get there and figure it out. But
okay, yeah.
Cool. Thank you for that. I like to get a little bit of that stuff in there for people. I think we've covered a lot of good things here. Mm-hmm. Okay. So one of the questions I have for you is when you're in CFI, is there something that you're most excited to kind of help someone learn about or overcome? Mm-hmm. Maybe because it's something you struggled with or you see other people struggling with it.
Mm-hmm. I would say, what am I most excited to help with? I'd say landings. Yeah. Landings, they're going to be the most rewarding but the most painful maneuver of anything. So I'm excited to teach those. I'm excited to teach everything, really. I'm excited to be a CFI. It's so rewarding.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for it.
Yeah. Gotcha. And I'll be excited to maybe have you back on when you kind of get into that position because I want to hear about the transition and I think everyone would like to hear a little bit about, like, you know, what it looks like now that you're there kind of thing. So maybe a handful of months down the road, we'll get in touch with you again. Yeah. Like, where are you at? And do you want to come in?
Yeah.
That sort of thing. Hey, I appreciate you for joining us on this episode of Pilots Say What, where we get to hear what pilots have to say. And congratulations so far on your journey. And I know there's a lot more to go, but it sounds like you've kind of got a good head on your shoulders about it all.
Thank you.
So that'll be good to hear more down the road. Do you have anything else to share with anyone who's listening and is considering starting flight training but doesn't even know what's holding them back yet?
Yeah, I'd say go look at the schools in your area. Explore some options. Talk to them. Mm-hmm. Get a few students aside. See what their honest opinion of the school is. You know, you only hear really like what the marketing team has to say. Ask some students. Yeah. See what their experience is. Do your research.
Yeah.
If you're thinking about college aviation, consider if you really want to take the four-year college route or if you'd rather just get time building. I didn't know that at the time. I feel like I wasted a few years.
Yeah.
But, I mean, never wasted. But
I know what you mean, though. Now you're somewhere where you really don't know you want to be. So, just one follow up question then is how does someone start a conversation with someone they don't know who is either a student, a CFI, or a pilot, or you know, all of them are pilots? But my point is how does someone start a conversation with someone they don't know, whether it be in person or online? How do they find them and how do they start that conversation?
What do I think? Well, it's actually happened to me a good amount of times. I've had a lot of people contact me about this. Just go to them, tell them like what you want to do, your interests, and ask them like their honest experience with the school that they're at. And most people, you know, they're willing to talk to you. They want to share their experience. You know, we all love aviation and we want to share that, you know?
Yeah. And I guess I will ask you then, like, how did it feel when they reached out to you and how did you respond? Do you answer all your messages or something like that?
Yeah. Anytime someone asks me about aviation, I try to answer them as honestly as I can. And
you don't feel burdened by it too much?
No, okay. I enjoy it. I had a few people who did the same for me, so I like to do it for other people. And you know, it's worked out for me, so I hope it works out for everyone. I want to answer their questions honestly and give them any advice that they need.
It's easy. When I was younger, I was really hesitant to ask questions from people who were, you know, further along on something that I was trying to do, because one, I was stubborn and I wanted to do it myself. I should have been more resourceful, and now I tend to try to be that way the older I've gotten. But secondly, I also always feared that maybe I was bothering them, and it's just not the case typically, especially in aviation. People like what they're doing; they want to talk about it. So, thank you. Thank you for joining us again. If anyone's listening and you're still here, I'm assuming that you liked it enough to get to this point. So please rate our podcast on the streaming platform you're on. And if you're on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe. You know how it goes. It really helps us out. And if you have any questions for Caitlin, I'm sure you'll see the comments because I'm sure you'll check out the video when we post it. So maybe you'll be able to answer those. And we always get a good conversation going there. So, you know, participate in the community that we have online. Otherwise, look up your local flight school, schedule a Discovery flight or a tour. If Thrustlight's anywhere near you, we would love to just meet you and show you what we have to offer. And if you're listening for the first time, know that we do this every week. And we'll see you again on Pilots Say What, where we get to hear what pilots have to say. And we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you.